Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, if you saw online or through the pamphlet, the verse that is going to be the theme of this conference is 2 Timothy 3:16. So, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. So, we'll go ahead and turn there and at least read it once. So, in case you haven't heard it before. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, so that first part is what I'm going to teach on today. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So inspiration, you know, we kind of today don't use the word in its true context. Some people say, like, if you ask any singing artist, oh, my wife inspired me to sing this song, you know, that just means it kind of pushed them, kind of wanted them to do it. But that's not what this word inspiration means. Other translations will say God breathed, which isn't a better translation, but it is a synonym. So you know, when it says all scripture is given by inspiration, it's not just like, oh, I loved God so much, I wanted to write this. It's God is essentially, and through the Holy Spirit, is the ghostwriter. He's telling them, he's persuading them what to write. And so that's why we can say that this is true and without error, because it wasn't just someone, you know, who loved God so much they wanted to write down his word. It was God kind of giving it to them, this is what I want you to write, so that's why it can be without error. So, to prove that it's without error, we're going to go through three things. Well, the first reason people believe that, that might have errors in it is one, they don't believe in God. Which, okay, that's logical. If you don't believe in God, you're not going to believe this was written by God and God inspired. So, it's the wrong premise, obviously, but at least their conclusion follows. So, but the two other ones I want to get at today is, the second, they think the Bible contradicts itself. So we're going to, and that makes sense, if it contradicts itself, then how do you know all of it can be true? So we're going to go through a few contradictions. And the last thing is, they haven't seen the hidden puzzle that God actually put in the Bible. And I'd be willing to bet some of you haven't seen it either. So that's what we're going to go through also today, to prove that God did inspire this, some perfect being was behind it and pushed others to write down what he wanted. So, we're going to go through, like I said, contradictions first, supposed contradictions. The first one will go to Deuteronomy 24, be verse 16. So, Deuteronomy 24, 16. Now, where did I find these contradictions? I found them by YouTubing people who don't believe in the Bible, and why don't they, and what contradictions they think the Bible has. And I think, honestly, that's beneficial for anyone to go through, look at what other people say, look at what the enemy says, and prove to yourself that they are wrong. See for yourself why, oh, that's not really a contradiction, even I can see this type of thing. So we'll go through a few of them here. So Deuteronomy 24, 16. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Now, here in Deuteronomy, he's talking to, you know, his nation, he's talking to his people, and he's trying to help them set up their government here. He's telling them, here's one of the laws, here's one of the things you should follow, don't do this. But if we go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, so that's just five books over, 2 Samuel 12, starting in verse 15, 2 Samuel 12, verses 15, start at verse 15. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted, and went in, and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose, and when they went in to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself when we tell him the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that his child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. So it kind of seems like, okay, if David sinned and God punished him by taking his son, doesn't that contradict what Deuteronomy says? Well, like I said, so if we went back, you don't have to do it. I'll just show you. In Deuteronomy, if we went back to that chapter, verse 14 starts, Thou shalt not. Verse 17 says, Thou shalt not. He's setting up the rules that he gives his people. His people are obviously not, they're sinful people, they're not perfect, they're not totally righteous, they're going to make mistakes. So he's given them these rules that they cannot do. They are not righteous, so they cannot say, hey, as a super righteous person, I can declare that your son can die for your mistakes. That's what he's setting up for them. He's setting up their government. So God is perfectly righteous. He can, anything he does is perfect, is righteous, and he can punish us for sin because all have sinned. No one is, you know, going to be perfect. No one is without sin. No one cannot be punished because they all can. So we can see here that God can punish whoever he needs to because he is perfectly righteous. He can give righteous judgment. And at the verse 23 here, if same chapter, Second Samuel verse chapter 12, at the end here, verse 23, it says, but now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So even David here acknowledges that, okay, even if he was taken, I'm still going to go to him. Wherever he is where I'm going to be when I die. So even though it's a punishment, it's not like God sent his son to go to hell or to the lake of fire forever. You know, sometimes, you know, and he went to a better place, and David also acknowledges that because he says, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Obviously, he's not going to bring him back to life, but wherever he went, it's a better place, and David's going to go there too. So the second one I want to go after is lying. So Titus 1:2, Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Okay, so right there, God cannot lie. Not, you know, I'll just read this. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. Okay, right, so God can't lie. So 1 Kings, we can go back there and look at chapter 22. 1 Kings 22:23. First Kings 22:23. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Okay, so right there, they'll just see these two verses and say, oh, did God lie? He put that lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets? Isn't that God lying? Is the Bible contradicting itself? Well, if we just go back up four verses, look at 19, we get the context. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? That's how I pronounce it. And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do. So what happened was this spirit said, hey, I will do the lying. And God said, okay. So this isn't God lying. And we actually see this all throughout Christianity. It's kind of the whole premise of it is that someone who's not God and people who sin, whether they be spirits or humans, are going to do wrong. They're going to lie. They're going to kill. They're going to cheat. But God's always like, okay, how do I turn this around for good? How do I turn this around for good? So right here, this spirit says he's going to lie, but what does God do with it? He turns it around for good, for his plan. This is the whole message of Christianity. What would have been the best plan for Jesus? He came, you know, that as far as they knew, to establish the kingdom. That was what this perfect Son of God wanted to do. Right? He wanted to do that, but God knew, okay, Satan's still out there, people are still out there, they're going to do bad, they're going to do evil, they're going to try and kill him. How do I turn this around for good? So we all know that story. He turned around for good, Jesus died, was rose again, and we're justified because of the life he now has. So it's a common theme throughout here is that God allows the evil to happen because he turns it around to something even better. So the Bible isn't contradicting itself. God didn't do the lying. He lets sinners sin, and then he turns around for his own good, for the better purpose, for his better will. So that's number two. We'll go on to number three now. Did Jesus tell his disciples everything or not? So this is just going to be in John, so we can stay in John the whole time for this. The Gospel of John. So John 15. John 15, 15. John 15:15 says, "Henceforth I call you not servants." This is Jesus talking to his disciples. "For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." So it sounds like Jesus made known everything he could to the disciples. Well, if we go to the next chapter, John 16, so one chapter over, verse 12, says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." So, people are going to claim, did he tell them all he knew or did he not? Sounds like he said he did. "Everything I heard of my Father, I made unto you." But then he says, "I've yet many things to say unto you. You cannot bear them now." So has he told them or has he not? So it's easy to rectify if we look at the next verse. Verse 13. So, and I'll point some words out here. "Howbeit when he," so who's he? "The Spirit of truth," so the Holy Spirit, "is come, he," the Spirit, "will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." Okay, so what is the Spirit's purpose? What is he allowed to tell them? What is he supposed to tell them? It says, "But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." Okay? Whatever God told him to tell people is what he's going to tell. Because this is the Holy Spirit. He knows everything. "Whatsoever he shall hear." So what he heard from God the Father, he's going to speak. So if we go back to John 15, 15. Back to the contradictory verse. "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." So he's not lying here. What God the Father told him to tell the disciples, he did. Obviously, he's Jesus. When he was up there, he knew everything. But God told him what he needed to say. So that he did. But he was not told to say the rest of the stuff, as in John 16, where it said, I have things to tell you, but you can't bear it. That's because God did not direct Jesus the Son to tell them yet. So yes, he told him everything he was supposed to, that he heard of his Father, but not everything he wasn't supposed to tell them. Again, no contradiction there. "As a man ascended into heaven," so we're going to do John and 2 Kings. So since we're here, John 3:13, back to chapter 3. John 3:13. John 3:13 says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Okay? So if we go back to, it says, "No man has ascended." That's what they're going to stick out. So 2 Kings 2:11, you probably know what we're going to here. So I can just read it to you, because you know this story. "And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, they behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven." Elijah's a man. Did he ascend up into heaven? Seems like he did. So is there a contradiction here? Well, let's go back to John 3 and start in verse 3 to get some context here. So John 3:3. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. So if you read this whole chapter, what Jesus is getting at, he's not saying in absolute terms, no man has ascended up into heaven. He's saying, hey, I've been to heaven, okay? I'm actually someone who's been there. So in verse 11, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. So what he's implying here is, hey, I've actually been there. You guys have not, and you still don't believe me. Okay, how can you? I've actually been there. None of these people that he's talking to, these teachers, these false prophets, have been up there, right? He's saying, I have, so you need to believe me. None of you guys have gone up into heaven and seen it, have you? No, so believe me. So that's what he's getting at here. He's not making an absolute statement that no one in the past has, because we saw Elijah has. He's trying to get the point across that I've been there, you haven't. How can you take that word for it and over mine? Because you guys haven't been there, I've seen it. So again, a man has ascended into heaven, but Jesus, what Jesus is getting at here is you need to believe me because none of you guys have who he's talking to. So the last one I'm going to get to here is, did Jesus start preaching before or after John was imprisoned? So we're going to do John and Matthew for this. We'll go to John first since we're there. So John chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 5 and then go to 24. But so verse 5 says, John 3:5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he is preaching here, right? He is telling people the truth, the word. And if you skip down to verse 24, it says, for John was not yet cast into prison. Okay? So Jesus is talking, seems to be preaching, before John was cast into prison. Matthew, go back to that book, chapter 4. Verse 12, Matthew 4:12. Matthew 4:12 says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Then you skip down to 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach. So it seems as though John is saying Jesus preached before John was imprisoned. And then Matthew says, no, he didn't start till after John was imprisoned. That's the dilemma here. So, again, what do you think the answer is going to be? Read the whole chapter. How about I get some context? So, in Matthew 4, we'll start with verse 12 again, then we'll read to 17. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and them which sat at the region, sat in the region, in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, we'll read, that's the whole verse. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, what we're seeing here is, what's important is, what was foretold and what Jesus did preach. So what we've found here is that if you stop at verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach, you're not reading the whole verse. And that's what people will do. Like, oh, stop there. Dude, that's what I preach. He's just preaching in general, right? Well, no, if you finish it, it says, and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what we see here is that what was he specifically preaching is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John, and we go back to Matthew 3, where the prophecy was fulfilled. So we'll go here and then we'll come back. But John 3, verse 1, so start the first 3:1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that which is spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So we see here, he fulfilled what Esaias was saying. He fulfilled that prophecy, and now John is saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? Jesus did the same thing. If you're in Matthew 4, you know, back to where we were, we start at verse 12, but if you go to verse 14, you know, stuff happened that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying. So we see here a pattern. Fulfill what Esaias said, then you can preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So right there in Matthew 4, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So he fulfilled that in verse 14, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he fulfilled Isaiah's prophet words. Then he began to preach. He could now say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Which is the same thing in Matthew 3 with John, where he did 3:3. For that is he that was spoken by prophet Isaiah. And what did he preach? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus did preach before John went to prison, but because Isaiah's words hadn't been fulfilled yet, he wasn't saying specifically, repent ye, for the kingdom is at hand. So yes, he was preaching before, but he was able to change some of what he was preaching because after John went to prison and fulfilled what Isaiah the prophet said, he could now say, repent ye, for the kingdom is at hand. So it's just important to obviously read the whole chapter, or most of it. That'll solve most of the problems. But actually study and look into what was being said and that he fulfilled what was in the prophet Isaiah was saying beforehand. Okay, so we've gone through the contradictions. Now I want to move on, but first I'm going to show of hands. So you all know the story of the day, the night Jesus was crucified, Peter was going to deny him, right? Jesus even gave the prophecy about, you shall deny me before the cock crows, that thing. So I want to have a show of hands. How many total times did Peter deny Jesus? Right? Without looking at the verses, how many total times? Let's raise your hand for one, two, three, okay, four, five, six, seven. All right, everyone who said three, can you raise your hand again? Hey, guess what? You're wrong. Well, you have not seen the secret or the hidden puzzle that God put in his Bible. This is going to, once you see this, it's going to be hard to deny that God had a hand in doing this. So let's actually go through it, because just like you, I was like, I went to churches in the past that have those plays beforehand, before Christmas, and they have Peter up there denying three times before the rooster crows. So let's go ahead and look at this. We'll start first with the prophecies. And so we're going to stick in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, because those are where obviously the story is going to be. So we'll go to Luke first. Luke 22. All right, Luke 22. And so we know where they are. We'll start at verse 13, do 13, 14. And when they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Okay, so this is the Last Supper. That's, I just want to give the context of where we are. Skip down to verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, and thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Okay. So I'm just going to write this in the middle here. So he's going to deny him, what, three times before the cock crows? So let's just do, we have three denials and then a crow. That's what this prophecy says, right? Looks like three at this point, doesn't it? Yeah. Let's go to John. We're going to look at all four. The prophecy is told four times. In each of the four, there's four mentions of it, so we're going to look at them. John 13. Okay, John 13, 28. John 13, 28 says, Now no man at the table knew what intent he spake this unto his own. Okay, I'm just proving again, they're at the Last Supper, they're at that table. So verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered unto him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Okay, so, again, another one sounds kind of like this. We got two more to go through. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 26. Matthew 26:30. Matthew 26, verse 30. And by the way, these are all, obviously, the faster to find them is they're going to be at the end of the books, because this is about where Jesus is about to die, so it'll help you get there quicker. But 26:30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Okay, so what's going to happen now is not at that Last Supper table. It's going to happen near the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, and ye shall be offended because of me, for this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto them, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Okay, so the second time Jesus is saying this, kind of sounds like he's just reiterating what he already said. No, maybe he's talking about the same prophecy. Maybe he's giving a different one. So, nothing changes. We'll go to Mark, the last one, number 4. Mark 14. Again, Mark only has 16 chapters, so go to the end and then work backwards. Mark 14, 26. Mark 14, verse 26. And when they sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Okay, so starting just like the last one. They went out to Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, and ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Okay. We have a little bit of information here. Mm-hmm. So, either we have three denials, cock crows, and then he crows again, right? If you want to put all those prophecies together, if they're all talking about the same thing, then this is what we have. If you can, this might be in the way. Sorry if the stand's in the way. But if we put all of them together, if it's all talking about the same event, then we have to combine them. We have three denials, and the rooster crows twice. But what if they're not? What if the ones that were talked about in the Last Supper is one prophecy, and the one in the Mount of Olives is a second? If we did that, we would have to have three denials, the rooster crows, that's prophecy talked about at the Last Supper, then a different prophecy, you get three more denials, 4, 5, 6, and the rooster crows again. That's the rooster crowing twice, right? So as of now, we have nothing to prove which is when it's happening, which is the truth. But these are the only two possibilities. Does that make sense? So it's going to be one of those two. So we have to figure out which one it's going to be. A lot of people will obviously say it's this one, but we're going to go through the accounts ourselves. We'll start, we're going to go in order, just through the book. So Matthew, we'll go with Matthew, and we'll do Mark, Luke, John. So they'll go to the end of Matthew, because we're going to chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 69. Okay, Matthew 26, 69. We'll write these down. So now you can see why I have numbers 1 through 6 here. You probably guess what that's for. All right, Matthew 26:69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all. Okay, so we're going to put palace, and we'll put with, you know, a damsel or a female. That was the first one here. Denied before them all. I know not what thou sayest. And he was gone out into the porch. Another maid saw him, and said to them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth, and again he denied, knoweth, I do not know the man. So, another maid saw him. So again, maid or female. 73, and after a while came unto them they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Okay, so they that stood by, right? That's all the details they give us. Okay, Mark 14. Mark 14, verse 66. Okay, 14:66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, Thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand what thou sayest. Okay, so he was beneath in the palace. And a maid of the high priest, so a maid, female. Okay. The second half of 67. And thou also wast with the Jews of Nazareth, but he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch. And what's the next verse, or next part say? And the cock crew. Okay. Okay, obvious, and so the cock crew, and the 69, and the maid saw him again and began to say that to them, that's why. He's going to deny again. All right, so right here, right now, we kind of solved which one it is. You agree? If the rooster crows in the middle of these happenings, which one is it? It's going to have to be the left one. He said that if there's only one denial, or two, and then the cock crows, which one is it? It's going to have to be this one. I'm going to go ahead and erase this, because this would be a lie if the cock, if that cock didn't crow until the last one of this text here. Okay. So, verse 68, but he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again. So, porch, so it was a maid. And began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them, and he denied again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. So again we have that stood by. Okay. Verse 71, but he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man whom you speak. And the second time, the cock crew. The second time. So it even tells you that there was a crowing here, a second one. All right? So let's go now to Luke. And look at his version. 22, chapter 22, starting in verse 56. Luke 22:56. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Okay, so we know there was a fire that was warming himself by, and there was a maid. Okay, I should have mentioned this because I forgot to write it down. But so in Mark 14, it says, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids and the high priest, and we saw Peter warming himself. So he was warming himself by the fire. Just put that in there, but I didn't. Don't want you to think I'm making it up. Okay. So Luke 22:57. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a while, another saw him and said, thou art one of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. So it just says another saw him, and Peter said, man, I am not. So all we know is there's some male. So another person, just some male, that's all we know about this one. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently confirmed, saying, of a truth this fellow man was also with him, for he's Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, yet while he spake, the cock crew. So all we have is another confidently confirmed. That's the only description we're giving him. Again, male. Man, I know him not. And then the crowing happens. And now we'll finally go to John. John 18. John 18, verse 17. So, John 18, 17 says, "Then saith the damsel at the door that kept the door." So we have a damsel, which is a female, at the door. "Unto Peter, art thou also not one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Then you skip down, there's a little segue there, and then so verse 25 continues. "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not." So it said servants and officers. Verse 26, "And one of the servants of the high priest, being a kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did I not see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew." Okay? So lastly, we have a servant of the high priest. Okay. When we look, so, knowing now, knowing now, we have all this written down, we can go through it now with this in mind and try and actually piece together the order of events. Because we have different versions, they're all true, but if there's going to be six denials, they only listed three, we got to figure out what's doing what. So that's why I wrote 1 through 6 on all of these. We're going to follow the puzzle, follow some deductive reasoning, and narrow this down. Okay, so first, we know, we'll start here, this will be the easy part. If this is here, and two happen after it, this cannot be number 6 or number 5. Does that make sense? So if this was number 6, what would these be, 7 and 8? That doesn't make any sense, right? So we can get rid of that for all of these guys. It can't be 5 or 6, because they have two of them after them. Okay? And we'll keep doing that for the rest. So this one can't be number 1 because there's one before, and it can't be number 6 because there's at least one after it. Okay, if this was number 1, this would be number -1. That's right. Can't do that. Okay. And same thing for these last ones. This can't be 1 or 2 because if this was number 1, this would be -1, -2. That obviously doesn't make sense. So we can get rid of these from the bottom. Okay, we got that. We also know right here that the rooster crows. So that would mean everything above it has to be 1 through 3, because the cock crows, 1, 2, 3 denials, cock crows, 1, 2, 3, cock crows the second time. So we can take out that guy, right? And we also know these have to be 4 through 6, because these happened in the second set of denials, these two. All right, I'm getting it down. Okay, we know porch, on the porch, maid, just like the game Clue, right? In the porch with the maid. So the crow's going to deny here also. We know the timeline of events. So that means below half has to be 4 through 5. And the top half has to be 1 through 3. And that was 1 through 3. Okay, we got that. So now we can, how about we connect some of them? So, palace, maid, you know, those look similar. It was by the fire, the female. Okay, that kind of looks like this too. Warming himself by the fire, there's a female, a maid. We can probably connect those. What we also need to do, think about is, okay, this story has to start somewhere. So, usually most stories, especially if you're going to be in a palace, what's the first thing that you have to do to get into a palace? You gotta walk through a door, right? So how about we just try, see if this works. How about we make this number 1? Because the first thing you have to do to get into the palace is to start at the door. So go with that. We'll make you number 1. Sorry. So if we have number 1, that's at the door, and these were at the fire warming themselves. You guys are not one. Okay. So, we have this. So now what, these can be 2 through, if these are all the same, these are only 2 or 3, this can only be 2 or 3, this can't be number 4, because then it wouldn't line up with the rest. And then we see, okay, what has number 2 up here? The only things that have number 2 is here, but this has, this. If this wants to be after, this can't be number 2. If this is not number 1, earliest this can be is 2, you can't be 2 also, right? So you can be 3. So this, servants and officers, right, those are males too. Who can be, if these can only be 2, we can see that this row right here has to be number 2. There's no other ones that could really be that way. They're connected, they're at the beginning, they have to be before the cock crows. We're going to make them number 2 because they're the only ones that can be number 2 in following the events. Okay, so we have 1 and we have 2. So we can, as we did before, the porch and maze, we can do that. And these use the same terms, right? They that stood by, they that stood by. So we have those two. The only other one that has multiple, if we look up here, is servants and officers. So to connect them to someone, they would also have to be, this is multiple, right? Servant, single person, confidently, single, okay. So we can draw that there's a connection that these guys are the same. Oops, sorry. Okay, 4, 5, 6, 3, 4, 5. That means if they're going to be the same, since these guys can't be number 3, he can't be number 3. So we have 4, 5. If this can't be number 6, these can't be number 6. So we have that down, which means this is number 2. What would this have to be? This has got this only, right? This is the only one that can be 3 in order here, is this guy. Because if this was 4, we have more of this. But this is the earliest guy who can be 3, so we have to make him 3. Because he's by himself right now. He's by himself. These are 4 and 5. Those are 4 and 5. That's going to be number 3. He's by himself. He's the one male. Okay? I'm trying to think where we're... Okay. So that's 3. This can't be 3. If that's 4 or 5, this can't be 3. And it can't be 4, because if this is 4, that can't be 4. If this is 5, it can't be 5. Okay? Got that. Let's see what is next. We have 1, 2, 3. So now I need to get 4, 5, and 6. We have... Okay, so there can only be... We have 4, we have 5, and we have 6 left. If we have 3... And this happens, then this happens, right? Obviously, this has to be 4, and this has to be 5. That's just how ordering works. So 4, 5, right? I mean, we join those. They're both 4, they're both 5. So that means this guy's 5. Which means what? This guy's 6. And then what do we have left? Okay, so this guy could be, after coming, be 4, 5, or 6. Can he be 4? Is this confidently confirmed a porch made? No, really doesn't sound like it. Confidently confirmed, singular. Is it plural, they that stood by? No. Could a confidently confirmed person, singular, be a singular servant of the priest? Yes. All right, so using deductive reasoning, we got them all. We have the numbers through it. 1 through 6. Are all in here. Now, I know that was a lot of work. Hopefully you were ready for some deduction fun this morning. Now look at this and tell me with a straight face that four people who weren't there randomly, arbitrarily decided, hey, these are the three I know about. These are the three accounts I want to list. And I'm going to list it like this without without talking to the others, without knowing who was there. What are the chances that these people, there were six denials, but all of them just without knowing, just like, hey, I'm just going to choose three of them. I'm going to choose three of them, put them down, make it look like three, and it's actually all going to flow together. The chances of that happening are almost zero, right? This couldn't have just happened by four people, four humans, writing whatever they wanted just because they loved God, right? Inspired by God. To do this and not contradict each other by saying, by giving the prophecy of the rooster, you're going to deny me three times. So they only listed three, but in truth it's six and you can put them all together. So this is what I wanted to get through here is just, this is an amazing, I think it's hidden, puzzle that God puts in here to prove that he wrote it. There's no way four people who didn't have some mastermind behind them showing them what to do would come up with something like this. They didn't, there was no great big, hey, let's get together. Hey, let's be sneaky and, you know, when we write our books, let's each do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We have no evidence or no indication that they got together to do this. So for this to actually work out, for them to make it appear that it only happened three times, there were only three denials, yet when you put all the four books together, you'd actually see the six. Because if you just looked at Luke, you would see that one prophecy, see three denials in the prophecy, and then see three denials here. Just take this book by itself, you're only going to think there's three. There's no reason to think there were six if you're just reading these separately. But when you put them all together, with some mastermind behind it who obviously told them what to write so nothing contradicted, so everything fit together like a great puzzle, you can get something like this. So for me, that's, I mean, I don't know about for you, but this shows me, yeah, this thing right here is inspired, is God-breathed, is the Word of God. He put this together. He told them what to say. He moved them to say this because this doesn't just happen by chance. From four sinful, they weren't the scientists of their day. So, I mean, they're probably smart, but they're not one of the geniuses of their day. This doesn't happen by chance like this. There had to be some mastermind behind it. There's only one explanation, is that there was a mastermind behind it, and it was God. He was telling them what to say. So I hope everyone is able to see this now. Like you, before I saw this, I was like, no, there's only three. There's only three denials. They're not six. What are you, silly? You hear that all your life because you only hear one version at a time. Usually you don't read the denials in one, go to the denials in another. You just read all through Mark at once. And then you read all through John. And then you read all through Luke. So, again, just wanted to show this out there because my purpose today was to show you that this word is truly inspired. I wanted to prove it to you. And maybe I did, maybe I didn't, but for me, this proves that it is inspired by God. It wasn't just four important people somehow getting all these pieces to fit together. So, hope that was fun. I know the post-it notes look good. If you want the notes, you can take a picture of this. If you want notes, just let me know. I can send it to you. I have everything typed up. So, I don't know what happens next if we're taking a break, and he's not out here. But thank you.
I'm listening to you back here.
Okay, are we taking a break?